Thank you. Thank you. It's a honor to be here among you. So before I could go further, I would like to invite Pastor Chad and Jenna to come forward. Okay, this shawl has a story. Actually, this is from a tribe called Nagas. Nagas who live in the northeastern part of India. Once they were headhunters. So their profession of headhunting gone to the point the whole tribe may extinct. So that was the time the missionaries from America, they entered into the tribe. They shared gospel and they evangelized the whole tribe. They stopped head hunting. Now they are hunting the souls for the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
Being in the shawl with my wife was very comfortable, by the way.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Pastor. I'm very happy to be here with my mom and dad. It's she who took pains to bring me over here. Thank you, Mom, for everything that you do. And also, I want to say thank you to Pastor Chad and Gina and Pastor Jackie and Lee for giving me this wonderful opportunity to be with you. I think it's too louder. Okay, here I am to share what the Lord is doing in India. So maybe I may not be able to communicate what I have in my mind and heart because English is not my mother tongue. So I'll try to put my thoughts into words. If I fail, please forgive me for that. Okay, let us go into the slides, please, sir. Yeah, the next one. So the next slide, please. I think he is working on it. Okay. Pastor Yesudas and Gracie. Yesudas is myself, and next to me is my wife, Gracie. She has done her master's in science. She was a teacher in the college. When the Lord called us to the ministry, we both resigned our jobs and came to the ministry. And we had been married for 22 years. So God is blessing us and using us in His ministry. Yes, sir. Next slide, please. Okay, here you see my two sons. And this is Samuel, who is doing his medicine in Ukraine, where the war is going on. Due to war, he came back home, and now he's planning to go back. Please pray for him. He has to do another 2 years in Ukraine. Yesterday, news says that Putin is getting ready to ready for the nuclear weapons to be dropped in Ukraine. Please pray that peace may prevail in Ukraine. And next to him is my another son, Daniel. He's doing his computer education. He's very much into the artificial intelligence. So pray for him. They both are multifaceted personalities. God has blessed them with many talents. Just I was wondering how Gina played and sang the songs. Both of my sons does that. So God has blessed them with so many talents. So continue to pray for our family. Thank you. Yes, sir. Okay, here you see the map of India. Actually, this is the place where I come from. This is called Karnataka. India is a very vast nation with almost 1+ billion population. So on top of it, you see a stamp. That's Apostle Paul. Apostle Thomas is one of the apostles of Jesus Christ who came to India, and he ministered there, and we are very cruel to him, and we killed him. 2,000 years back, we killed him, and the legacy is going on still. The seeds that he planted in India is still growing, and it will going to grow. So praise the Lord for that. Okay, sir, next slide, please. Okay, this is the logo of our ministries. Actually, God has burdened us to take the gospel to the people where they did not hear the name of Jesus Christ. So in Romans 15:20, Paul says that it has always been my ambition to preach gospel where the name of Jesus was not named. So in India, we see that most of the churches are located in the townships and cities. But we felt that the people are living out in the villages. And it's our burden to take the name of Jesus to the places where his name was not named even at once. There are a lot of people in India who need to hear the gospel. So that's how we come up with this motto. This is the motto of our missions. It has always been our ambition to take gospel to the places where the people have never heard of the name of Jesus Christ. So glory be to God. Yes, sir. Okay, we have different ministries going on there. And you see Pastor Jesse is there. I know some of you have known about him. Okay, Paul School of Missions we started. See, recently we came to a census that most of the Indian pastors are theologically illiterates. So none of them had any basic theological educations. So apart from that, it's a burden to take gospel to the nook and corner of India. And to fulfill that vision, God has burdened us to come up with this Paul School of Missions. So in India, we have 4,635 people groups. 4,635 different ethnic groups living in India. Out of which, only 300 people groups are reached with the gospel. So rest 4,335 people groups are yet to hear the gospel. So that 300 people groups who have been reached, that happened during the missionary era. The missionaries from outside, out of countries, they came to India and they evangelized the 300 people groups. And rest we have 4,335 people groups to be reached with the gospel. So God has burdened us that somehow we need to take this gospel to the unreached people groups. So that's where we got this idea of starting the Paul School of Missions, where we bring the grassroots level leaders, we bring them to our place, we keep them for 3 months, we teach them the biblical lessons. So most of the time, it's very challenging for us, as most of the Christian pastors are illiterates. They do not know how to read and write. So we take pains to teach them to memorize the scripture. And we make them memorize the Bible stories. And some of the important scriptures we make them memorize. And we graduate them and we send them back to the people groups. So like that, God has burdened us to raise 400 grassroots level missionaries or harvesters so that they can go back to their fields and do the evangelism. So that's where we started this Paul School of Missions. Okay. Yes, sir, next, please. Okay, these are the people that help us with the teaching in the Paul School of Missions. Pray for them. You see Pastor Rajkumar, Pastor Prashant, myself and Gracie, Pastor Shankar and Pastor Lokesh, all these pastors take a lot of pains to teach them because it's my burden and my vision, but they have stepped into that, and they felt that it's their own. So they are doing a lot of things for the Lord, and especially these people are trying to contextualize the Bible into the local cultures. So until and unless we don't contextualize the Bible to our local languages, we cannot see any fruits. So these people are doing that work wonderfully. Yes, sir. Okay, this is the graduation after the Bible schools. Go ahead, sir. Okay, pastors' conferences. So we conduct pastors' conference once in a year. We bring all of our graduates and other pastors who are out in the fields. We keep them for 3 days, and we challenge them with the word of God, and again we send them back to their places. During these 3 days, we give them a lot of exercises to again to memorize the scripture, to memorize the Bible stories, because most of our believers are oral tradition. They don't know how to read and write. So we make them memorize the scripture. When they go back, it stays with them. Yes, sir. Okay, evangelism and Bible distribution. Bible distribution, we are not much into the Bible distribution because out in the villages, nobody reads and writes. So we take a part of a Bible to be translated into the local languages. So we give them to the children instead of to the parents. So these children carry the gospel into their homes and keep reading for their parents every day. So once in every 3 months, we print our own scripture portion and we give them to the children. So when they are well-to-do with this smaller portions, then we go ahead and give the Bibles. So most of the times when we go for Bible distribution, there will be fight. Not the opposition, but they wanted to have a copy of their own Bible. So most of the times we may not be having so many Bibles to give out to everyone. So like that, the Lord is using us through this evangelism and Bible distribution. Yes, sir. Okay, Sunday school children. I am 53 years now. I have never into Sunday school until today. The churches in India are not giving much importance to the children. So Bible clearly says that train a child when he is young. So almost all the churches do not take very seriously that. So God has burdened my wife to come up with this project to teach the children about the gospel and Jesus and the Bible stories. And also she has taken so much pains to visit each and every church to encourage them to start their Sunday schools in the churches. But most of the churches did not accepted that. Finally, she came up with the project, which means a Nirikshana Pillalu, which means it's an Indian word, which means the children of faith. So she started going to each and every village. Instead of going to the churches, she started going to the villages, bringing the children, teach them the songs, make them dance for the songs, and teach them the Bible stories, and give them a snack and send them back. So we started with one village, and now we are into more than 30 villages. And nearly 300 children are coming to our Sunday schools. It's not church-based. It's village-based. So praise God for that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, next one. Okay, baptisms. It's one of the important things that we do. So without baptism, it means it's I'm not identifying myself with the church. Okay, India is a place where the baptisms we started doing in the nights, because during daytime, it's very dangerous. As Pastor was talking about the persecution, Recently, the Indian government has come up with a lot of restrictions to see that the Christianity is not growing. So no more baptisms, no more Bible distribution, no more evangelism. You cannot do anything. So though the government is bringing a lot of restrictions for the gospel, the people are coming more into the churches. So we started baptizing the men and women in the nights so that nobody knows about the baptisms. So one side the government is suppressing us, one side the Lord is uplifting us. Glory to God. So continue to pray that we may not get caught by the police or the government. So it's a very dangerous situation there. So please pray for us. You see, all of these pictures are in the nights. Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir. Yes, yes. Actually, we don't have a baptistry like you have. Most of the times, we take them to the river and we take them to the ponds. Very rarely, we make them baptized in the tanks. So we don't have those. So somehow we are seeing that the baptisms are taking place, because that's only the witness that we can tell the world that I have been baptized. Okay, this is the witnessing of the baptism. Go ahead, sir. Okay, Edigas Church. As Pastor was saying that it took 15 years for us to get one convert. So after that, the Lord has changed the things. And the church has grown so big. So I think it's 5 years back, I have baptized 6,000 people. So after that, I stopped going there because we developed the local leadership and we gave that responsibility to the local leadership and we got away from the tribe. Now we are into this Ediga people group, and this is one of the most notorious people that I have ever come across. They do not want any other religion except their Hinduism. Even a single Bible distribution in that area creates a lot of commotion. We are struggling for the past 7 years with that people group, and we are not going to quit. And we will go ahead with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord will going to do mighty things among them. So from this people group, we have started doing some social work for the social development of the people in that specific people group, to see that somehow we are penetrating into the group. So in order to fulfill that, we have started helping their children to go to school. So right now we are supporting 103 children from this people group. And slowly we see that through these children we could able to get into their homes. And recently we have seen more baptisms are happening in that people group. And it will going to be a bigger church in the days to come, because the Lord has started working in that. After 7 years of my work with them, I felt that maybe the Holy Spirit is not working here. Maybe I need to get away from here. So that was the time we have started seeing the fruit. Glory to God. Okay, this the again the children programs with them. Yes, sir, go ahead. Yeah, charity work, the advancement of the kingdom, EDG support. We are supporting 103 children from that group. And apart from that, goals for grannies. So in order to get the attention of the women, we started giving out goats to the women. So when we give the goat, it's an agreement between them and to us. So when the goat gives birth, they need to give back one so that we can give it to the other women. So like that, so far we have given out 40 goats. And each goat costs around $150. It's a wonderful ministry. So it's the women who decides for their families what to do and what not to do. And God has given us so much of wisdom to do this project among the women, and now they are able to influence their families and their men, and slowly we could see the fruits of the Spirit through this project, the Goats for Grannies. Continue to pray for them. So far we have given it 40 goats, and we will going to do it more to see that the gospel is penetrating into the village. Okay, widow's care. See, widows in India is considered as evil. I don't know how your society looks at a widow, but in India, a widow is not a good sign. So when I'm going out, if a widow comes, I think that it's a bad time for me. So I scold her, I beat her, I do all sorts of things to keep her away from my way. So the widows are seen very, unclean animal, something like that. So God has burned us to show the love of God to such people. So my wife has taken the challenge to go to each and every widow, and she started ministering to them, and many widows are responding to our call. And now they are slowly coming out of their houses to the streets, because it's a taboo that a widow is not a good sign for the society. So we need your prayers for those widows in India. Then free eyeglass clinics. My mom here, she is the one who led a team from Arizona for the first time. We started eye clinics, and for some time it was going quite well. After some time, we were not able to get the glasses, and a lot of things happened in between. But it's one of the best evangelical tool that the Lord has given us through my mom. So far, we were able to give out 50,000 glasses freely. Not only eyeglasses. When we conduct the eye clinics, we have a system. Whoever comes for the eye clinics, we make them sit in a specific place. We counsel them in the sense of we share them gospel. The first thing we do is share them gospel. And everyone listens to what we say there, because they think that if they don't listen, they may not get the glasses. We make use of that chance. So we make them hear a gospel, then we hand out a Bible, then they come for the refraction. When they finish the refraction, then they will go out for the glasses collection. Then they go out. So like that, so far we have given out 50,000 eyeglasses, and 50,000 New Testaments have been given, and 50,000 men and women have given a chance to hear the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's not the end of it. Since they have received the glasses, very next day we go and tap their doors to ask them how the glasses are using. Are they useful or not? They feel very happy that we went there to check on them. Then the conversation starts. Then we slowly talk to them about Jesus Christ. And that builds a rapport with them. And like that, we have evangelized more people. See, in order to share gospel, I need to go to the village where they look at me as a hostile man, as an enemy. But here the people are coming to us, and God is giving us a chance to share the gospel. It's a wonderful ministry. So may God bless mom and the others who have brought it to India, and we are continuing to do that. Even last month we have done an eye clinic where we gave out 287 glasses in one single day. So God is blessing us. Unfortunately, nowadays we were not able to get more glasses as we were in the future, in the past. Please pray for that need. Then medical camps and leprosy. Medical camps, as usual, they are going. But leprosy is a thing which was, which is needs to be has some attention. Actually, my son, eldest son, when he was in the fourth grade, he read about Mother Teresa. And he came back home from school. He started questioning us. Dad, you are doing so much of gospel work and the social work. So what are it that you are doing so far? Do you know there are leprosy people in our area? Yes, I said, I know. So what have you done so far for that community? So that has become a big blow on my heart. Oh, a small child is asking us what we are doing, and there is a community who needs our attention. So far, we have never cared for them. Then we started going out into the leprosy people. We started washing their hand, their wounds, bandaging them, giving them the medicines. So once we were, my wife was cleaning a leper's leg. As she was cleaning, a person's toe came off. So behind that, we saw that a lot of maggots. It needs a bigger heart to work among the leprosy people. The God has given that opportunity to us to work among the leprosy people. So more than the medicines, they say that we had a human touch after a long time. Some people tell that it's about 10 years that a human has touched me. So when we touch them, they feel so happy. So it's one of the greatest burdens that the Lord has given us to work among the leprosy people, and we will going to work more with them. Okay, COVID relief recently, you know that a lot of things happened during the COVID. The government announced lockdown. For 2 years, they did not do anything for the people. It was the Christian church that went into each and every street and did the relief work. So God has burdened us to do more relief work during this COVID season. And we were able to help more than 300 families have food for at least 2 months. So it was the biggest blessing for us to feed those people. And India has more deaths than any other country. So I myself has attended the funerals, more than 60 people. So it was so a difficult situation for India. But still, God has strengthened us to go forward to work with these COVID people. So thank you so much. Okay, Hope Sewing Center. Maybe next you will see some of these pictures. Hope Sewing Center is a sewing center which we have started for the women. Women are the one who suffers a lot when it comes to the maintenance of the family. So most of the men in India, they earn money, spend all the money on drinking. So it's ultimately the women and the children who suffers a lot. So Gracie has come up with this idea. Why not we train the women in sewing so that they can learn the skill and make money out of it? So we started that project, and so far we have trained 240 women in sewing. And most of them has found jobs in textile industries, and some of them have started their own enterprises. See, one good thing is that at least two women are coming forward to give their tithes to us. Praise the Lord. Okay, then blanket distribution, that's normally goes on during the winter. So here the climate right now seems like winter to me, but you are saying that it's summer. So our winters are very cold when compared to this, because we are in a tropical land. All of the sudden the climate changes, and most of the people who suffer is the homeless people who sleeps on the streets. So the God has burdened us to carry these blankets to the people, those who are on the roadside. Just we cover them and come back home. Nobody knows who does that. Next morning they come to know that they have a new blanket on them. So glory to God. God is blessing us. Okay, then Petty Shop. Okay, sir, next slide, please. Okay, this is the COVID relief during the COVID time. We are giving out the groceries to the EDS people. Go ahead, sir, keep going. Okay, these are the things that we gave to one family, which is enough for the whole month. Yeah, this a group of children that we support. I told you that we are supporting 103 children to go to school. This is one of them. Yes, sir. Okay, this is another group from the same EDS people group. Okay, goats for grannies. Yes, sir. Okay, widow's care. We continue to give out the clothes, the groceries, and other things for the widows. Okay, these are eye clinics. So we refract them at least in one clinic. We refract between 250 to 300 people. So it's a wonderful ministry. Yes, sir. Okay, these are glasses, how we arrange them. Okay. Yes, sir, go ahead. Oh, this is the COVID relief again. That's my wife, Gracie, and that's me. And these are all the groceries that we give out. Oh, these are some of the widows that we take care. Yes, sir, please, go ahead. We also did COVID relief to the children. Actually, when the nation was locked down, most of the children were inside the homes, not knowing what to do. So Gracie has different ideas. She went on to think, and she came up with the indoor games. So we have contributed indoor games to more than 300 children. So that's what you see there. And this is our hoping center. Actually, our hoping center is a mobile center. We don't keep in one specific place. If we have 6 months here, so next time we'll take it to the next village. So we are giving chance to each and every woman in different villages to learn about the sewing. Yes, these are some of the things that they make. Recently, God has enabled us to donate sewing machines to nearly 12 women. And most of them have started their own enterprises, and they are doing well. They started earning money for them. And this is one of our graduation ceremonies. Yeah, blankets for the poor and roadside people during the winter. So we go out and just give them. Okay, she's one of the widows who has lost everything. During COVID, she has lost her son and a daughter who were supporting her. So all of a sudden, she became an orphan, and we went there and we gave her only 10,000 rupees, which is about $200. She started that petty shop, and she's making more money, and she started helping us, our ministry. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Okay, the persecution in India. It's growing day by day. Nobody knows what will happen when. And recently, the government has done everything to see that the Christianity is wiped out from India. So our persecution has two kinds. One is passive persecution, and the other one is active persecution. Passive persecution is, if you become a Christian, you lose almost all the governmental benefits. Your children are not given education. You are not given medical facilities. You are not given employment. So like this, they try to suppress the progress of the Christianity. So this is called as passive persecution. They never come and beat us. Just they curtail all the benefits that we are getting from the government. So that's how they check to see that the other religious people are not converting into Christianity. So no more governmental benefits for the people, those who are converting to Christianity. And the active persecution is they always come and beat us. For no reason, they put us into jail. They do everything. All of a sudden, a group of people comes into the church. They smack down everything. They beat the people. And when we go to the police station to lodge a complaint, the police never take that. They try to compromise us. And they say that your God is from foreign. Jesus is not belongs to India. When we have 300 million gods and goddesses, why are you trying to bring a God from abroad? They never knew that Jesus was born in Asia. We try to convince them. They think that Asia is some far away. So we have our own gods and goddesses. So we don't need your God. So nowadays, it has been hundredfold they started doing a lot of things. Unnecessarily, they are coming and disturbing all the things. But one thing we are very sure that there is a hymn which says that because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. He has shed his blood for us. What are we going to do for him? That's the biggest question that comes to us. So the beatings is nothing when compared to the beatings that Jesus had. So the persecution is part of our ministry. Without persecution, we cannot prosper. No persecution, no prosperity. In 2004, one of the states banned all Christian activities in Tamil Nadu. That was the time the church has grown 17%. So the persecution is helping us to do more. They are trying to suppress us, but we are trying to do more. The Holy Spirit will not going to stop us from doing the things, and the government will not going to do anything to stop us from doing the things that the Lord wants us to do. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. The Indian church is singing that. Because he is living, the Indian church can do more. Whatever comes on our way, we are ready to accept. Whatever comes on our way, we are ready to face. We are ready to take beatings. We are ready to take anything that the government brings. My son is studying in Ukraine because he did not get a chance to study in India because he is a son of a pastor. My second son is studying in India, but he has to pay his own fees. No free education for him. So if I need to go for a hospital, there is no treatment for me. I need to pay a large amount. But nothing can stop us from doing the work of God. So pray for the India. And it's one of the 10th countries. India ranks 10 out of the 15 countries where Christians are persecuted. They are not persecuting us to the point of death as Jesus has died. Still we are alive. We're going to face anything. So we need your prayers. May God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. I'd like to do something. If you, the church supports him, you stay right there, please, sir. No, but if any of you are interested in supporting him, and I don't know how many years the church has been supporting Jesse Dawson. Yep, And but it's been a couple years or but anyway. Okay. But any if any of you want to support him on your own and you indicate that, whether it be on a check or an envelope, we'll make sure that he gets it. So maybe some of you want to be a supporter of what God's doing in India. And so what I'd ask him if you don't feel comfortable, but I'd like to surround him, let's lay hands on him. And then I've asked him also to pray for this church, and also, and he said, I'll have to do it in his native, well, he speaks five languages. I think it's been 5 years since he's been here. And I said, when was the last time that you spoke English? He said 5 years ago, because nobody speaks English where he's at. He didn't do too bad for being 5 years since he spoke English. Amen? So if you feel comfortable, let's lay hands on him, let's pray, and then let him, I want him to pray for this church. And if you're sick, I asked him if you've got an ailment or sickness in your body, I've also asked him to pray for the sick tonight. How's that sound? You sound okay? So let's surround him if you can. Let's pray for this dear brother. This is a precious brother. Yes, he does. What a precious brother. What a precious man. What a precious man. And so, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, Lord, we thank you for the heart that Yesudas and his wife Gracie has. Lord, we thank you for the hand of God that's on him like an apostle, Lord, who's all the works that he's begun. And Father, we just ask right now that you would just protect him. We pray for your safety upon his life in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your hand upon him and his ministry, upon his sons, upon his wife, Lord. We thank you for supernatural protection over his life, Lord. We thank you for all the things that you've done through his life. And Lord, we thank you for the continued anointing that flows through his life. So Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, providing all the funds that he needs, Father, to reach even more people. So Lord, we ask that those funds would even come in more, Father God, as he showed himself to be a good steward. So, Lord, we just ask for the blessing of God financially upon his life. And, Father, I pray for this for his neck, that this injury or whatever he has on his neck, Father, we declare wholeness and healing over his neck right now in Jesus' name. We speak healing and wholeness, Father. We thank you for touching his body, Father God, so he can minister for many years to come. So, Lord, we thank you for healing his body, blessing his body. Your hand of mercy and grace upon Yesuas. And we thank you, Father, for your hand of grace and mercy. And as he's in the States, as he travels back, Father, we just thank you, Father, for open doors, and continue to open the doors. We thank you, Father, for the heart of a lion, Lord, that there's no fear in this man who's willing to give his life for the gospel. So we thank you for that, God. And Lord, we just pray for that heart, that desire to see people come to Christ, Lord, that just a little bit of that, Father God, could be in this church, Father, more of a hunger and more of a desire to see others come to you. So we thank you, Father God, that we would catch what he has and his heart and his purpose. And so we thank you for that today, Lord. We thank you for that tonight, Father, as we love you and we bless you, we honor you in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. We thank you for your blessing, Father God. We thank you for your goodness, Lord God. We thank you for the family of God. Father, we thank you, Father, for stirring in our hearts, Father, even in this church of believers in the United States. We thank you for a fresh stirring in what you're doing, Father God, even if persecution that we see rising in America. Lord, we pray that that would strengthen your body, Father, to declare the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for that tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen, and we're going to have our brother, if you want prayer for any sickness, I've asked, he said he'd pray in his native language, but to pray for the people here. I don't know about you, but I'm going to get prayer for some things in my body. And how about you, Bob?